365 Bible, April 28th. Judges 8:18-9:21. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for we are the wisdom of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. We are his courage. We are his wisdom. We are his joy. Your joy, Lord. We thank you for giving us insight in your word. Once again, thank you for developing us. You are our workmanship, working us and culturing us to your glory and your honor, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. Amen. April 28th. Then Gideon asked Zeba and Salmunna, the men you killed at Tabor, what they were like. Like you, they replied, they all had the look of a king's son. They were all my brothers, Gideon exclaimed. As surely as the Lord lives, I wouldn't kill you if you hadn't killed them. Turning to Jether, his oldest son, he said, kill them. But Jether did not draw his sword, for he was only a boy and was afraid. Then Zeba and Salmunna said to Gideon, don't ask a boy to do a man's job. Do it yourself. So Gideon killed them both and took the royal ornaments from their necks of their camels. Then the Israelites said to Gideon, be our ruler. You and your sons and your grandsons will be our rulers, for you have rescued us from Midian. But Gideon replied, I will not rule over you, nor will my sons. The Lord will rule over you. However, I have one request. Each of you can give me an earring out of the treasures you collected from your fallen enemies. The enemies being Ishmaelites all wore gold earrings. Gladly, they replied. They spread out a cloak and each one threw in a gold ring he had gathered. The weight of the gold earrings were 43 pounds. Not including the crescent and pendants, the royal clothing of the kings, or the chains around the necks of their camels. Gideon made a sacred ephod from the gold and put it in Ophrah, his hometown. But soon all the Israelites prostituted themselves by worshiping it, and it became a trap for Gideon and his family. That is the story of how Israel subdued Midian, which never recovered. Through the rest of Gideon's lifetime, about 40 years, the land was at peace. Then Gideon, son of Joash, returned home. He had 70 sons, for he had many wives. He also had a concubine in Shechem, who bore him a son named Abimelech. Gideon died when he was very old, and he was buried in the grave of his father Joash at Ophrah, in the land of the clan of Abiezer. As soon as Gideon was dead, the Israelites prostituted themselves by worshiping the image of Baal, making Baal Berith their god. They forgot the Lord their God, who had rescued them from all their enemies surrounding them. Nor did they show any loyalty to the family of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, despite all the good he had done for Israel. One day, Gideon's son Abimelech went to Shechem to visit his mother's brothers. He said to them and to the rest of his mother's family, ask the people of Shechem whether they want to be ruled by 70 of Gideon's sons or by one man. And remember, I am your own flesh and blood. So Abimelech's uncle spoke to all the people of Shechem on his behalf. And after listening to their proposal, they decided in favor of Abimelech because he was their relative. They gave him 70 silver coins from the temple of Baal-Berith, which he used to hire some soldiers who agreed to follow him. He took the soldiers to his father's home at Ophrah, and there, on one stone, they killed all 70 of his half-brothers. But the youngest brother, Jotham, escaped and hid. Then the people of Shechem and Bet Millo called a meeting under the oak beside the pillar as Shechem and made Abimelech their king. When Jotham heard about this, he climbed to the top of Mount Gerizim and shouted, listen to me, people of Shechem. Listen to me if you want God to listen to you. Once upon a time, the trees decided to elect a king. First, they said to the olive tree, "Be our king," but it refused, saying, "Should I quit producing the olive oil that blesses both God and people just to wave back and forth over the trees?" Then they said to the fig tree, "You be our king." But the fig tree also refused, saying, "Should I quit producing my sweet fruit just to wave back and forth over the trees?" Then they said to the grapevine, "You be our king." But the grapevine replied, "Should I quit producing the wine that cheers both God and people just to wave back and forth over the trees?" Then all the trees finally turned to the thorn bush, said, "Come, you be our king." And the thorn bush replied, "If you truly want to make me your king, come and take shelter in my shade. If not, let fire come out from me and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now make sure you have acted honorably and in good faith by making Abimelech your king, and that you have done right by Gideon and all of his descendants. Have you treated my father with the honor he deserves? For he fought for you and risked his life when he rescued you from the Midianites. But now you have revolted against my father and his descendants, killing his 70 sons on one stone. And you have chosen his slave woman's son, Abimelech, to be your king just because he is your relative. If you have acted honorably and in good faith toward Gideon and his descendants, then may you find joy in Abimelech and may he find joy in you. But if you have not acted in good faith, then may fire come out from Abimelech and devour the people of Shechem and Beth Millo. And may fire come out from the people of Shechem and Beth Millo and devour Abimelech." Then Jonathan escaped and lived in Beer because he was afraid of his brother Abimelech. Luke 23:44-24:12. By this time it was noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the thick veil hanging in the temple was torn apart. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with these words, he breathed out his last. When the captain of the Roman soldiers handling the execution saw what had happened, he praised God and said, "Surely this man was innocent." And when the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw all that had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph. He was a member of the Jewish High Council, but he had not agreed with the decision and actions of the other religious leaders. He was from the town of Arimathea in Judea, and he had been waiting for the kingdom of God to come. He went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Then he took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a long linen cloth, laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of rock. This was done late on Friday afternoon, the day of preparation for the Sabbath. As his body was taken away, the women from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where they had placed his body. Then they went home and prepared spices and ointments to embalm him. But by the time they were finished, it was the Sabbath, so they rested all that day as required by the law. But early on Sunday morning, the women came to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone covering of the entrance had been rolled away. So they went in, but they couldn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They were puzzled, trying to think what could have happened to it. Suddenly, two men appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed low before them. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking in a tomb for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Don't you remember what he told you back in Galilee? that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again the third day. Then they remembered that he had said this, so they rushed back to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. The women who went to the tomb were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several others. They told the apostles what had happened, but the story sounded like nonsense, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Psalm 99, verses 1 through 9. The Lord is King. Let the nations tremble. He sits on his throne between the cherubim. Let the whole earth quake. The Lord sits in majesty in Jerusalem, supreme above all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Your name is holy, mighty King, lover of justice. You have established fairness. You have acted with justice and righteousness throughout Israel. Exalt the Lord our God. Bow low before his feet, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also called on his name. They cried to the Lord for help, and he answered them. He spoke of them from the pillar of cloud, and they followed the decrees and principles he gave them. Our Lord, our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God, but you punished them when they went wrong. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain in Jerusalem, for the Lord our God is holy. Proverbs 14, 9 and 10. Fools make fun of guilt, but the godly acknowledge it and seek reconciliation. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can fully share its joy. Looking back in Proverbs 14, 9 and 10, each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can fully share its joy. Right there is where I'd like to ask you to write down 20 small victories you would like to have, 20 small medium-sized victories you would like to have, and 20 victories you like to accomplish, and 20 victories that only God can accomplish. That'd be 20, 40, 60, 80, and we need 20 more to make it 100, make it 100%. Make it 20 things that you would do for others if you get all these accomplished. Like for me, one of them would be to keep working with a 12-step program and create a way that I can give good shampoos and soaps and creams and stuff to the people that are homeless and have a way for them to like have a mobile trailer that other homeless people will talk to them and tell them, hey, we're going to wash your clothes, trim your hair. They did it for us, and the homeless are going to look homeless that are going to help the homeless so they won't spook them. And wash your clothes and get them some just uppity up, some clean clothes and maybe some manicuring stuff. That's my dream. It's a small dream. It's a huge dream to have two or three of these buses with motorhomes that people are selling them for peanuts. All right, let's move on. Okay, in Psalms 99, the Lord is King. I want you to pay attention to the word I'd like to ask you. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. The Lord sits in the majesty in Jerusalem. Jesus now sits up in the heavens with the Father for his accomplishment. One of his lists got accomplished. The Lord is King. Our Lord, our God. Okay, all these things that if you're calling on the name of the Lord, I'd like to ask you, what I'm exercising is doing, exalt the Lord our God, is put, because he is Lord now. He has conquered this world. He's owner of the world. He's the maker of the world. He lost the world. He got the world back. So he's Lord. Lord for help. They cry to the Lord for help. There's a man that walks up down the street. His name is John Strait. comes from Canada. He's about going on 80. Excellent in health and enthusiasm. He walks his dog. And we had a Bible study, and he came down and he taught me the importance that as when Jesus was raised from the dead, and notice that even on Luke 24, verse 3, it says, the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus. I think before it was just saying Jesus, Jesus, and then when he was raised from the dead, they started calling him Lord. He is Lord. Lord means, one of the definitions is boss, owner. You know, the man. So let's, instead of, anyway, you know what I mean. When you remember, start using the Lord Jesus and see how your prayers are going. Mine's are going better. Okay, now let's go to what does the Holy Spirit wants to talk about here? I like it. I like the way incredible what greed can do to a person that wants to be boss of somebody and eliminate all the other people. But the Holy Spirit is telling me Gideon made a sacred ephod out of the gold and put it in Ophrah. And you know what the sacred ephod is? It's a stereo system that God can speak through. But the Israelites prostituted themselves by worshiping it and became a trap for Gideon and his family. Kind of interesting when an individual says that his child was messing with the stereo system and he yelled and cussed him out or whatever. He said, don't you know how much money that is? And ruins his children's speaker and talking system for the rest of his life by giving him that kind of cruelty over an item, by worshiping an item, worshiping a car. Then you spill the milk in the thing, yell and scream. Instead of having the love, you know, people are more important than things, folks. People are more important than them offending you. They're more important. You got to give them value, and value will come back to you because they don't have a program. You do. Have empathy. Have compassion. Be like Jesus. Be like our Lord Jesus. Excuse me. Be like our Lord Jesus Christ. Wise, remember, you have the wisdom of Jesus Christ. You are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You are the sanctification of Jesus Christ. You're the holiness of Jesus. You are the redeem of the Lord. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Beaming when you smile, they should be able to put, you should be able to blind people when you smile. You saw so much of the glory of God and the love of God. You're just jumping up and down with enthusiasm. Greek word for God within. Now, Abimelech, Gideon's son, by a concubine, proved to be the opposite of his father. Gideon rightly refused kingship over Israel. Abimelech not only demanded it, but he also attempted to kill anyone who stood in his way. Abimelech died as violently as he lived. None of the faith, patience, and honesty that characterized Gideon is seen in Abimelech, perhaps indicating serious deficiencies in his childhood years. Even some who demonstrate strong leadership ability outside the home environment needs to take care to possibly influence his or her children as well. If children do not spend time with godly parental examples, they may grow up with no positive role models to follow. If we don't teach our children to walk in God's ways, they may grow up to flout them, like Abimelech. But neither should we blame our childhood environment for the mistakes we have made, even if we have grown up in a dysfunctional family. We still have hope for recovery through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I'm reading to you from the notes on the Recovery Bible, New Living Testament. Once again, the Israelites again turn from the true God and worship the idols, the ephod, the stereo system, right, that Gideon had made to commemorate the defeat of the Midianites was soon worshipped by the people. And later, all Gideon says the Israelites went back to worshiping Baal. They got worse, and Baal bet it. The people still did not recognize the cycle of disobedience and oppression. We must not be, of course not, like the Israelites, but should learn from our past experiences. That's one of the reasons in the 12-step program, we're constantly reminded of how greedy, ugly, and unhuman we were when we were out there drinking and trying to protect our drink, folks. Even if you're not drinking, gambling, just a sinner at that too. When tempted to return to old addictions, we need to remember the consequences of those behaviors and persevere in recovery. One thing about the 12-step program, folks, you can join Al-Anon, which I highly recommend, which I am a true member of there. Alcoholics Anonymous, which to me is a ministry. You have brand new people from all over the world, all over the place here in America, coming with a court card to AA, to a 12-step, and you get to talk to them about right living, which is the gospel, folks. You know, and then you get to pray for them and continue to bring the kingdom of God into their hearts. What easier way to establish your ministry of giving out what the Lord Jesus Christ has put inside of us is to be the friend of the sinner that has repented. Believe me, folks, they have repented. They got fines, they got courts, they got morgue visits. They have a lot of on their plate. And some of them don't make it. They go belly up. They flip somersault because of the conditions. They have to climb Mount Everest. They'll put a meter on their leg and then one on their car. And it's maybe $150, $200 of their money monthly for each to the maintenance of these items. Just an amazing, amazing crippling of getting a DUI here in California, United States. Rightly so. My friend just came back from the morgue. He says the 18 to 25 kids are there. He says, why don't the DMV send them over there to visit before they give them the license so they can be aware of what's happening when drinking and driving? It would be so much humanitarian, you know. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's continue to read here. It says, this pursuit and execution of the Midianite kings are a striking example of perseverance in Gideon's part. In clear contrast to the tribes of Israel who had failed to finish the job of driving out the Canaanites when he killed those two kings, those kings said, you do it, you're a man, you kill us. And Gideon took the sword and chopped them up. No problem, dude. Gideon continued until the Midianite forces were completely defeated. He reversed their previous oppression situation completely, opening the doorway to a new life of freedom for Israel. We should follow Gideon's example, doing all we can to escape oppression from our dependencies. God will help us to accomplish this. Then he will help us to go build a new life. It's kind of interesting to think that, oh, it's so cruel he killed somebody and so forth. But, you know, Father God knows that they're not going to pay attention to him whatsoever unless they really get hurt and stupidity leaves them. Who knows if they wouldn't have called out on the God of Israel right there and then, huh? Each of us, of our enemies, has a justice system. And the Bible says only a good beating, you know, and in this situation, death will get it out of them if they cry out to God while they're being slaughtered. You know, there's still hope in their crying out in the microsecond, and we never know. Thank God we have a lot of mysteries to contend with. I love you. God bless you. If no one's told you they love you, thank you so much for coming on here and listening to this quick reading of history and the Bible. And the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ who lives inside of us. Praise be to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Praise be to the angels of God. We praise the Word of God. We praise God. We're thankful. We praise all the elements. And we're thankful for ourselves. We say, hey, good man, good woman, pat yourself in the back. You listen to the Word of God. Say, good job, well done, good and faithful servant. You entered into the words of the Lord and consider them into the kingdom of God. May you be blessed all through the day. Expect a miracle and give them heaven, family. Let's get out there and enjoy today. Amen. 365 Bible, April 28th. Judges 8:18 to 9:21. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for we are the wisdom of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. We are his courage. We are his wisdom. We are his joy. Your joy, Lord. We thank you for giving us insight in your word. Once again, thank you for developing us. You are our workmanship, working us and culturing us to your glory and your honor, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. Amen. April 28th. Then Gideon asked Zeba and Salmuna, the men you killed at Tabor, what they were like. Like you, they replied, they all had the look of a king's son. They were all my brothers, Gideon exclaimed. As surely as the Lord lives, I wouldn't kill you if you hadn't killed them. Turning to Jether, his oldest son, he said, kill them. But Jether did not draw his sword, for he was only a boy and was afraid. Then Zeba and Salmuna said to Gideon, don't ask a boy to do a man's job. Do it yourself. So Gideon killed them both and took the royal ornaments from their necks of their camels. Then the Israelites said to Gideon, be a ruler. You and your sons and your grandsons will be our rulers, for you have rescued us from Midian. But Gideon replied, I will not rule over you, nor will my sons. The Lord will rule over you. However, I have one request. Each of you can give me an earring out of the treasures you collected from your fallen enemies. The enemies being Ishmaelites all wore gold earrings. Gladly, they replied. They spread out a cloak, and each one threw in a gold ring he had gathered. The weight of the gold earrings were 43 pounds. Not including the crescent and pendants, the royal clothing of the kings, or the chains around the necks of their camels. Gideon made a sacred ephod from the gold and put it in Ophrah, his hometown. But soon all the Israelites prostituted themselves by worshiping it, and it became a trap for Gideon and his family. That is the story of how Israel subdued Midian, which never recovered. Through the rest of Gideon's lifetime, about 40 years, the land was at peace. Then Gideon, son of Joash, returned home. He had 70 sons, for he had many wives. He also had a concubine in Shechem, who bore him a son named Abimelech. Gideon died when he was very old, and he was buried in the grave of his father Joash at Ophrah, in the land of the clan of Abiezer. As soon as Gideon was dead, the Israelites prostituted themselves by worshiping the image of Baal, making Baal Berith their god. They forgot the Lord their God, who had rescued them from all their enemies surrounding them. Nor did they show any loyalty to the family of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, despite all the good he had done for Israel. One day, Gideon's son Abimelech went to Shechem to visit his mother's brothers. He said to them and to the rest of his mother's family, ask the people of Shechem whether they want to be ruled by 70 of Gideon's sons or by one man. And remember, I am your own flesh and blood. So Abimelech's uncle spoke to all the people of Shechem on his behalf, and after listening to their proposal, they decided in favor of Abimelech because he was their relative. They gave him 70 silver coins from the temple of Baal Berith, which he used to hire some soldiers who agreed to follow him. He took the soldiers to his father's home at Ophrah, and there, on one stone, they killed all 70 of his half-brothers. But the youngest brother, Jotham, escaped and hid. Then the people of Shechem and Bet Millo called a meeting under the oak beside the pillar as Shechem and made Abimelech their king. When Jotham heard about this, he climbed to the top of Mount Gerizim and shouted, listen to me, people of Shechem. Listen to me if you want God to listen to you. Once upon a time, the trees decided to elect a king. First, they said to the olive tree, "Be our king," but it refused, saying, "Should I quit producing the olive oil that blesses both God and people just to wave back and forth over the trees?" Then they said to the fig tree, "You be our king." But the fig tree also refused, saying, "Should I quit producing my sweet fruit just to wave back and forth over the trees?" Then they said to the grapevine, "You be our king." But the grapevine replied, "Should I quit producing the wine that cheers both God and people just to wave back and forth over the trees?" Then all the trees finally turned to the thorn bush, said, "Come, you be our king." And the thorn bush replied, "If you truly want to make me your king, come and take shelter in my shade. If not, let fire come out from me and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now make sure you have acted honorably and in good faith by making Abimelech your king, and that you have done right by Gideon and all of his descendants. Have you treated my father with the honor he deserves? For he fought for you and risked his life when he rescued you from the Midianites. But now you have revolted against my father and his descendants, killing his 70 sons on one stone, and you have chosen his slave woman's son, Abimelech, to be your king just because he is your relative. If you have acted honorably and in good faith toward Gideon and his descendants, then may you find joy in Abimelech and may he find joy in you. But if you have not acted in good faith, then may fire come out from Abimelech and devour the people of Shechem and Beth Millo, and may fire come out from the people of Shechem and Beth Millo and devour Abimelech." Then Jonathan escaped and lived in Beer because he was afraid of his brother Abimelech. Luke 23:44-24:12. By this time it was noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the thick veil hanging in the temple was torn apart. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with these words, he breathed out his last. When the captain of the Roman soldiers handling the execution saw what had happened, he praised God and said, "Surely this man was innocent." And when the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw all that had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph. He was a member of the Jewish High Council, but he had not agreed with the decision and actions of the other religious leaders. He was from the town of Arimathea in Judea, and he had been waiting for the kingdom of God to come. He went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Then he took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a long linen cloth, laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of rock. This was done late on Friday afternoon, the day of preparation for the Sabbath. As his body was taken away, the women from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where they had placed his body. Then they went home and prepared spices and ointments to embalm him. But by the time they were finished, it was the Sabbath, so they rested all that day as required by the law. But early on Sunday morning, the women came to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone covering of the entrance had been rolled away. So they went in, but they couldn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They were puzzled, trying to think what could have happened to it. Suddenly, two men appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed low before them. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking in a tomb for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Don't you remember what he told you back in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again the third day. Then they remembered that he had said this, so they rushed back to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. The women who went to the tomb were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several others. They told the apostles what had happened, but the story sounded like nonsense, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Psalm 99, verses 1 through 9. The Lord is King. Let the nations tremble. He sits on his throne between the cherubim. Let the whole earth quake. The Lord sits in majesty in Jerusalem, supreme above all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Your name is holy, mighty King, lover of justice. You have established fairness. You have acted with justice and righteousness throughout Israel. Exalt the Lord our God. Bow low before his feet, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also called on his name. They cried to the Lord for help, and he answered them. He spoke of them from the pillar of cloud, and they followed the decrees and principles he gave them. Our Lord, our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God, but you punished them when they went wrong. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain in Jerusalem, for the Lord our God is holy. Proverbs 14, 9 and 10. Fools make fun of guilt, but the godly acknowledge it and seek reconciliation. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can fully share its joy. Looking back in Proverbs 14, 9 and 10, each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can fully share its joy. Right there is where I like to ask you to write down 20 small victories you would like to have, 20 small medium-sized victories you would like to have, and 20 victories you like to accomplish, and 20 victories that only God can accomplish. That'd be 20, 40, 60, 80, and we need 20 more to make it 100, make it 100%. Make it 20 things that you would do for others if you get all these accomplished. Like for me, one of them would be to keep working with a 12-step program and create a way that I can give good shampoos and soaps and creams and stuff to the people that are homeless, and have a way for them to like have a mobile trailer that other homeless people will talk to them and tell them, hey, we're gonna wash your clothes, trim your hair. They did it for us, and the homeless are gonna look homeless that are gonna help the homeless, so they won't spook them, and wash their clothes and get them some just uppity up some clean clothes and maybe some manicuring stuff. That's my dream. It's a small dream. It's a huge dream. I have two or three of these buses with motorhomes that people are selling them for peanuts. All right, let's move on. Okay, in Psalms 99, the Lord is King. I want you to pay attention to the word I'd like to ask you. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. The Lord sits in the majesty in Jerusalem. Jesus now sits up in the heavens with the Father for his accomplishment. One of his lists got accomplished. The Lord is King. Our Lord, our God. Okay, all these things. If you're calling on the name of the Lord, I'd like to ask you, what I'm exercising and doing, exalt the Lord our God, is put, because he is Lord now. He has conquered this world. He's owner of the world. He's the maker of the world. He lost the world. He got the world back. So he's Lord. Lord, for help. They cry to the Lord for help. There's a man that walks up down the street. His name is John Strait. Comes from Canada. He's about going on 80. excellent in health and enthusiasm. He walks his dog. And we had a Bible study, and he came down and he taught me the importance that as when Jesus was raised from the dead, and notice that even on Luke 24, verse 3, it says, the Lord Jesus. I think before it was just saying Jesus, Jesus, and then when he was raised from the dead, they started calling him Lord. He is Lord. Lord means, one of the definitions is boss, owner, you know, the man. So let's, instead of, anyway, you know what I mean. When you remember, start using the Lord Jesus and see how your prayers are going. Mine's are going better. Okay, now let's go to what does the Holy Spirit wants to talk about here? I like it. I like the way incredible what greed can do to a person that wants to be boss of somebody and eliminate all the other people. But the Holy Spirit is telling me Gideon made a sacred ephod out of the gold and put it in Ophrah. And you know what the sacred ephod is? It's a stereo system that God can speak through. But the Israelites prostituted themselves by worshiping it and became a trap for Gideon and his family. Kind of interesting when an individual says that his child was messing with the stereo system and he yelled and cussed him out or whatever. He said, "Don't you know how much money that is?" And ruins his children's speaker and talking system for the rest of his life by giving him that kind of cruelty over an item, by worshiping an item, worshiping a car. Then you spill the milk in the thing, yell and scream. Instead of having the love, you know, people are more important than things, folks. People are more important than them offending you. They're more important. You got to give them value, and value will come back to you because they don't have a program. You do. Have empathy. Have compassion. Be like Jesus. Be like our Lord Jesus. Excuse me. Be like our Lord Jesus Christ. Wise, remember, you have the wisdom of Jesus Christ. You are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You are the sanctification of Jesus Christ. You're the holiness of Jesus. You are the redeem of the Lord. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Gleaming, when you smile, they should be able you should be able to blind people when you smile. He says so much of the glory of God and the love of God. You're just jumping up and down with enthusiasm. Greek word for God within. Now, Abimelech, Gideon's son, by a concubine, proved to be the opposite of his father. Gideon rightly refused kingship over Israel. Abimelech not only demanded it, but he also attempted to kill anyone who stood in his way. Abimelech died as violently as he lived. None of the faith, patience, and honesty that characterized Gideon is seen in Abimelech, perhaps indicating serious deficiencies in his childhood years. Even some who demonstrate strong leadership ability outside the home environment needs to take care to possibly influence his or her children as well. If children do not spend time with godly parental examples, they may grow up with no positive role models to follow. If we don't teach our children to walk in God's ways, they may grow up to flout them, like Abimelech. But neither should we blame our childhood environment for the mistakes we have made, even if we have grown up in a dysfunctional family. We still have hope for recovery through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I'm reading to you from the notes on the Recovery Bible, New Living Testament. Once again, the Israelites again turned from the true God and worship the idols, the ephod, the stereo system, right? That Gideon had made to commemorate the defeat of the Midianites was soon worshipped by the people. And later, all Gideon's death of Israel went back to worshiping Baal. They got worse, and Baal bet it. The people still did not recognize the cycle of disobedience and oppression. We must not be, of course not, like Israel, but should learn from our past experiences. That's one of the reasons in the 12-step program, we're constantly reminded of how greedy, ugly, and unhuman we were when we were out there drinking and trying to protect our drink, folks. Even if you're not drinking, gambling, just a sinner at that too. When tempted to return to old addictions, we need to remember the consequences of those behaviors and persevere in recovery. One thing about the 12-step program, folks, you can join Al-Anon, which I highly recommend, which I am a true member of there. Alcoholics Anonymous, which to me is a ministry. You have brand new people from all over the world, all over the place here in America, coming with a court card to AA, to a 12-step, and you get to talk to them about right living, which is the gospel, folks. You know, and then you get to pray for them and continue to bring the kingdom of God into their hearts. What easier way to establish your ministry of giving out what the Lord Jesus Christ has put inside of us is to be the friend of the sinner that has repented. Believe me, folks, they have repented. They got fines, they got courts, they got morgue visits. They have a lot of on their plate, and some of them don't make it. They go belly up. They flip somersault because of the conditions. They have to climb Mount Everest. They'll put a meter on their leg and then one on their car, and it's maybe $150, $200 of their money monthly for each to the maintenance of these items. Just an amazing, amazing crippling of getting a DUI here in California, United States. Rightly so. My friend just came back from the morgue. He says the 18 to 25 kids are there. He says, why don't the DMV send them over there to visit before they give them the license so they can be aware of what's happening when drinking and driving? It would be so much humanitarian, you know. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's continue to read here. It says, this pursuit and execution of the Midianite kings are a striking example of perseverance and Gideon's part. In clear contrast to the tribes of Israel who had failed to finish the job of driving out the Canaanites when he killed those two kings, when those kings told him, you do it, you're a man, you kill us. And Gideon took the sword and chopped them up. No problem, dude. Gideon continued until the Midianite forces were completely defeated. He reversed their previous oppression situation completely, opening the doorway to a new life of freedom for Israel. We should follow Gideon's example, doing all we can to escape oppression from our dependencies. God will help us to accomplish this. Then he will help us to go build a new life. It's kind of interesting to think that, oh, it's so cruel he kills somebody and so forth. But, you know, Father God knows that they're not going to pay attention to him whatsoever unless they really get hurt and stupidity leaves them. Who knows if they wouldn't have called out on the God of Israel right there and then, huh? Each of us of our enemies has a justice system. And the Bible says only a good beating, you know, and in this situation, death will get it out of them if they cry out to God while they're being slaughtered. You know, there's still hope in their crying out in the microsecond. And we never know. Thank God we have a lot of mysteries to contend with. I love you. God bless you. If no one's told you they love you, thank you so much for coming on here and listening to this quick reading of history and the Bible and the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ who lives inside of us. Praise be to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Praise be to the angels of God. We praise the Word of God. We praise God. We're thankful. We praise all the elements. And we're thankful for ourselves. We say, hey, good man, good woman, pat yourself in the back. You listen to the word of God. Say, good job. Well done, good and faithful servant. You enter into the words of the Lord and consider them into the kingdom of God. May you be blessed all through the day. Expect a miracle and give them heaven, family. Let's get out there and enjoy today. Amen.